пишите.
Ничего не читайте.
Читайте.
Ничего не говорите.
Ничего не печатайте.
Right, that's tonight's Pigs Big 78, and it's Eat More Fruit by the Star Syncopators, directed by Wag Alley. And there'll, of course, be another Pigs Big 78 in tomorrow night's programme, but not one on Thursday, because we can't really incorporate it into that four-hour special about Sonar. Pity. More's the pity. Right, we've found out now that Matthew, who lives with Tom and Claire, is actually Matthew Griffiths. So the four winners of a pair of tickets are Sarah McCrory, Matthew Griffiths, Melanie Russell, and Cassidy Parker. Is that right? I got that right. OK, fair enough. And here's another tune, which we picked up in Barcelona. Sorry. Fatigue is taking over.
¿Qué es eso?
¿El qué?
Un video
terrestre. Tranquilo.
This is Terrestre from Mexico on Nortec Records. El Maquilazo is the title of it, and there'll be more from Terrestre in One World, doing some DJing on One World on Thursday night, Friday morning. And here's the last tune tonight from this session from Bell and Sebastian. Let's hope we don't have to wait another 3 years for the next one. This is My Girl's Got Miraculous Technique, and this is for all of those people who entered our competition and didn't win, because I know how they feel.
Snow stops snowing. Maybe we'll get some bowling and drinking in and looking at the sky. Pretend that you despise it. Why does your lazy eye rest on his skin, his arm and his wallet?
Bell and Sebastian in session, the last from them tonight, and that's called My Baby's Got Miraculous Technique. And the label of the Sonar event, as far as this programme was concerned, was the, I think it must be a German label, called Shit Catapult. And I should like to have bought their entire back catalogue, but was unable to find too many of their records. But there is one by Rechenzentrum, an EP called Landschaft nach der Schlacht. And here's some moments from that. You know, I'm beginning to think this may be at the wrong speed, I'll be honest with you. I've made a great mess of this, I have to be honest, but I will try and play it again sometime, possibly even tomorrow night. This is Rechenzentrum, who followed me, actually, on the Wheels of Steel at Sonar, and this is from an EP, on the Shit Catapult record label. I've got a T-shirt with that written on it. I'm going to wear it about town tomorrow, I think, looking rather lovely if I hold my stomach in. Landschaft nach der Schlacht is the title of the EP. And I apologise again for being so tired. It's, well, you can blame 100 French School children for that. I'd love to get my hands on them one at a time. This is from the Tractor Kings. Those were the Tractor Kings, and this is Dry Kill Logic. Adjust your webbing and prepare for more of the same in just a moment or so's time from Marianne Hobbs after the news. This is Dry Kill Logic. on Roadrunner Records and from an LP called Darker Side of Nonsense. That was Asphalt. Tomorrow, don't forget, it's Meanwhile back in Communist Russia. Thanks very much for listening. And at 12 midnight, it's Lisa Burke.
Radio 1.
The Caroline Dickinson suspect will face trial for her murder.
Radio 1 News Mean Speech.
A judge.
Welcome to another deep dive. This one's going to be about art.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's about art and current events. Yeah. It's for people who like both of those things.
Gotcha.
And this is one where we're eavesdropping on a debate between two artists.
Okay.
And it's about an art project that tackles the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
Wow.
In a very provocative way.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
So the two artists are named Hiro Workman
and
Andreas Maria Jacobs.
Great.
Workman is the artist behind the Kienkamp Gallery.
Yeah.
And he calls himself a working class hero.
Right.
And he reached out to Jacobs with an idea for a project.
Right.
And the idea is a digital art exhibition centered around the phrase New Auschwitz.
Oh, wow. Okay. So right away, we're in a very charged space.
Yeah.
Right? Using New Auschwitz.
Yeah.
Immediately invokes one of history's like darkest chapters.
Right.
Like just the weight of that term.
Right.
So the question becomes like, what is the intended impact of using that comparison?
Right.
And then also, what are the potential consequences? Because, you know, you can't just throw that phrase around lightly, it seems like.
Yeah. And I mean, Workman in his initial email to Jacobs doesn't mince words.
Okay.
He really like lays it all out there.
Okay.
And he sees the situation in Gaza, especially after the October 7th attacks, as a reflection of the horrors inflicted by the Nazis.
Wow.
The suffering, the global community's response, he sees direct parallels.
Yeah. And this is where, you know, the idea of Holocaust inversion comes in.
Okay.
Which is, you know, a perspective that argues that directly equating Israeli policies with the actions of the Nazis is itself a form of anti-Semitism. Right. This conversation really highlights how sensitive and potentially fraught these comparisons are.
Yeah. I mean, look, this is a really difficult conversation to have.
Yeah.
But it's important, I think, to have these kinds of conversations.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, Jacobs pushes back hard.
Okay.
He's not afraid to disagree.
Okay.
And he doesn't hold back.
Okay.
He pulls you into this whirlwind tour of historical atrocities.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The Rwandan genocide, the Syrian civil war.
Yeah.
And he's building this case that while the situation in Gaza is obviously tragic,
right. He
says that it differs fundamentally from the Holocaust in its scale and systematic nature.
He's drawing a line in the sand, it seems like.
He is.
Yeah.
Now, Workman doubles down.
Okay.
And clarifies that he's not saying the two situations are identical.
Yeah.
He's arguing that using New Auschwitz is about conveying the intensity of the suffering in Gaza.
Okay.
He wants to break through what he sees as the limitations of mainstream media and their narratives.
So this is a critical distinction.
Yeah.
Because it gets to the heart of artistic license and responsibility.
Right.
Right. Can art, even with the best intentions, be a force for change without diminishing or trivializing historical atrocities?
Yeah.
It's a tightrope walk.
It is. And that's kind of where Jacobs lands, is can a title as provocative as that overshadow the message?
Yeah.
And he seems to think it might.
He's skeptical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is.
And understandably so.
Yeah. And, you know, he questions whether art alone can make a dent.
Yeah.
These deeply rooted political and economic systems at play in this conflict.
Yeah, he seems to be advocating for a deeper understanding of the root causes, you know, what's going on behind the scenes, rather than just commenting on the suffering.
Right. He wants action, not just commentary.
Exactly.
And to illustrate that point, he suggests that Workman connect with Rob Schrama, who's an artist known for his nuanced and informed work on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
So he's saying, look, if you're going to tackle this sensitive topic,
yeah,
you need a more nuanced and informed approach.
Right.
This might need a much larger canvas than a single art project.
And this back and forth between them, I think, throws a really tough question at us as the audience.
Yeah.
Can art really be a force for change in the real world?
It's a big question.
Or are we just admiring a message on a canvas while atrocities continue?
Right. Are we just passively observing this?
Right.
It's a powerful image. And it makes you think about that question, like, does anything really change?
Right. Like, are we even capable of changing?
Exactly.
And it's interesting because Workman talks about how focusing on the optics of the conflict, you know, the way it's often framed in the media might actually be perpetuating the cycle of suffering.
Oh, interesting.
He wants to push past the headlines and grapple with that raw human element.
Yeah, like get to the heart of it.
Yeah, and he says it's not about taking sides.
Okay.
It's about recognizing our shared capacity for suffering.
Our shared humanity.
Exactly. And this is where the conversation, I think, takes a fascinating turn.
Okay.
Because Jacobs, while he is skeptical of the new Auschwitz concept,
right,
he seems to agree with Workman on a fundamental level.
On that human element.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. He acknowledges that deep-seated human capacity for inflicting pain.
Yeah.
And the role of media desensitization.
Right, because we see so much suffering in the media all the time.
All the time.
That it's easy to become numb to it.
And he admits that even he would rather focus on his own spiritual evolution than dwell on the horrors of the world.
I mean, haven't we all been there?
Oh, absolutely.
Right. It's so much easier to just turn away.
It's a very human response
yeah.
to want to shield ourselves from pain.
Absolutely.
From that overwhelming weight of the world's suffering.
And so that's, I think, Workman's challenge, and maybe the challenge of art in general,
okay,
is to kind of shake us out of that complacency, to make us feel something, even if it's uncomfortable, so that we're moved to act.
Right. And Jacobs, being a bit more pragmatic, sees the limits of this approach.
Okay.
He brings up Picasso's Guernica.
Oh, wow.
That iconic anti-war painting,
yeah,
almost as a counterpoint.
It's a brilliant comparison.
Yeah.
Because it makes you think, did Guernica actually stop the violence that it depicts?
Right.
Did it prevent future atrocities?
Right.
Or is it more accurate to say that it serves as a stark reminder?
Okay.
A testament to the horrors of war that we can't afford to ignore.
So are we supposed to just throw our hands up and say, well, art can't change anything, so what's the point?
Right. Like, why bother?
Yeah.
I think that's where this conversation pushes us beyond a simple answer.
Okay.
It's not about finding solutions within the canvas.
Okay.
Or the sculpture itself.
Okay.
It's about what happens after we encounter the art.
Okay.
Does it spark a conversation? Does it change how we see the world, even slightly?
Yeah.
Does it make us think about things we'd rather ignore?
Right.
Those are the questions.
And Workman seems to think that art can do all of that.
Okay.
And he keeps circling back to the idea that it can force self-reflection,
mm-hmm,
both individually and collectively.
Okay.
He talks about recognizing suffering as a universal problem.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, something inherent to the human experience.
That's powerful because it transcends political boundaries.
Yeah.
Religious differences, all those things that tend to divide us.
Right.
It goes straight to the heart of our shared humanity.
But Jacobs remains unconvinced.
Okay.
Particularly about the effectiveness of this specific art project.
He's still hung up on the new Auschwitz.
It seems like it. Yeah. He sees it as Workman making a statement, shouting about the horrors of the situation,
okay,
rather than offering a tangible way forward.
So he's concerned about the potential for further polarization.
Right.
For deepening the divides that Workman claims he wants to bridge.
But Workman pushes back on that.
Okay.
And he says, look, I'm not trying to offer easy answers here.
Okay.
He's more interested in stirring something within the viewer.
Okay.
Prompting them to grapple with these complex emotions and questions on their own terms.
So leaving it open-ended?
Yes.
Okay.
He wants to leave us with that final lingering question.
Which is?
New Auschwitz, does anything really change, or are we unwilling or unable to change it?
It's a question without an easy answer.
For sure.
But it's one we all have to wrestle with, both individually and as a global community.
It's a big one. And what do you think? Can art be a force for change in the real world? You know, it's interesting. What makes this whole thing so fascinating is that they're both willing to, like, ask these hard questions, and they push each other,
yeah,
to really think critically about the role of art in a world that's, you know, overflowing with information, with suffering, that often feels too vast to even comprehend.
And what I think is really refreshing is that they're not afraid to disagree.
Totally.
Like, they're not trying to come to this, like, neat little resolution or a single right answer.
Right.
It's like they're modeling this kind of intellectual honesty that you don't really see a lot these days.
It feels very authentic.
Yeah, totally.
And I think you can feel the respect,
yeah,
underneath it all, even when they're challenging each other's ideas pretty intensely.
Which I think speaks volumes. It suggests that you can have these conversations about really complex, even contentious topics without, like, resorting to personal attacks or shutting down the conversation.
Right.
Just because you disagree doesn't mean you can't have a conversation.
Right. And so it's like, where does this all leave us?
Yeah.
Workman seems to still really believe in this idea of New Auschwitz as a catalyst for change.
He's committed to the idea.
Yeah.
It seems like.
He's really committed.
Oh.
He sees it as like this necessary provocation.
Okay.
A way to jolt people out of their complacency and force them to confront the brutal realities of this conflict and just more broadly, like the human capacity for inflicting suffering.
He doesn't want us to look away.
He does not.
Okay.
But I keep coming back to Jacobs's point that art alone might not be enough. Like, we need to look deeper, right?
Yeah.
We need to address the political and economic systems that allow these cycles of violence to continue.
That's a really important takeaway, I think, from this whole conversation.
Absolutely.
It's a reminder that while art is powerful, and, you know, in raising awareness and getting us to reflect.
Sure.
It's not a magic solution.
Right.
It can't just like dismantle these huge power structures or resolve deeply entrenched conflicts overnight.
So it's not an either thing. Right?
Exactly.
It's about recognizing how interconnected these different things are and finding ways to work within them to create change.
I think that's a really good point. Like, it's about understanding how art, politics, economics, how they all kind of play into each other.
Yeah, and recognizing we all have a role to play.
Absolutely.
Even if they look different.
And maybe that's a good place to kind of wrap up this conversation.
Yeah, this has been a really thought-provoking deep dive. And I think it really speaks to the responsibility we all share to engage with the world in a thoughtful, compassionate, and impactful way.
Yeah. And not shy away from the hard questions.
Absolutely.
Even when they make us uncomfortable.
Exactly. And I think that's what's so great about these deep dives is that we're left not with easy answers,
right,
but with deeper questions.
Yeah.
And with a desire to kind of like go out and learn more and do more.
And that's a powerful place to be.
It is.
Because it's in that space of questioning and seeking that real change, I think, becomes possible.
I totally agree.
Deze hemelse adem sympathiseert zo sterk met onze als ik mijn vroege ochtend Carmina offereer aan het briljante wezen van mijn zon, dat ik de kracht van deze overeenkomst alleen moet geloven. Dat ik uit het bloed der goden ben besproten. In grote verbaasdheid zegt Zwanenburg begon over zijn beschuldigers die hun AB-borden voor de mond moesten houden om hun gezag en achtbaarheid door het lachen niet te verklikken, zo kan niet laten luidkeels te gillen. Of maakt het mij liggen met mijn proces, of zuiver deze vergaderingen van dit Jan Potas, die dwergje, dat met zijn waterbeleidstronie alles opkluift wat hem voorkomt. Zou ik het niet kluiven, zijn we, want alle solarische extracten zijn gezond in zonderheid als het goud zijn tinctuur van zich geeft. Dus olie en balsam in mijn mond. En van nu af aan hou ik piteous voor de enige. En waarom verbinden aardig dingen, terwijl hij zo natuurlijk en met mijn doelingen overeenkomende werk, dat ik wel wil zweren, dat ik met hem willen stellen tot hoofdpatroon en lijfmedicus aller nachtwerkers of poëten.
Dus gemist.
Deze tussenpoos van woorden. en het daarop volgende gelach veroorzaakte enige stilstand in het opgelopende. En het gal en bloed der beschuldigers. Die waarlijk treinig moet overtuigd worden door gewaarwordingen van een apologische amber. Dat een scheet met verlof van een wijsman genoeg is om een gek ten bek te stoppen. En ik geloof dat Willem van Zwanenburg dit eerder begrepen gehad. Hij had zijn dichtproces met minder moeite gewonnen, doch nu was hij aan het teefje vast en moest er blijven tot hij los was. Ik wil zeggen, hij moest antwoord geven op de beschuldiging over zijn gepleegde crimen, hetgeen hier dan eigenlijk in bestond, naar de EBC, ABC Gabert voorgaf dat hij op een verachte en onwaardige wijze het geprobeerde, gekanoniseerde en van al de wereld aangenomen middel om tot gouden schijven van Midas te geraken had verworpen. Denk, seigneur, zei de aanspreker tegens de zon, of dit niet verdient de weinigste met de koorden gestraft te worden, dat er de dood navolgt.
Sag mir, wo die Männer sind, wo sind sie geblieben? Sag mir, wo die Männer sind, was ist geschehen? Sag mir, wo die Männer sind, zogen vor der Krieg beginnt, wann wird man je verstehen? Wann wird man je verstehen? Sag, wo die Soldaten sind, wo sind sie geblieben? Sag, wo die Soldaten sind, was ist geschehen? Sag, wo die Soldaten sind, über Gräben weht der Wind. Wann wird man je verstehen? Wann wird man je verstehen? Sag mir, wo die Gräber sind, wo sind sie geblieben? Sag mir, wo die Gräber sind, was ist geschehen? Sag mir, wo die Gräber sind, Blumen blühen im Sommerwind. Wann wird man je verstehen? Wann wird man je verstehen? Sag mir, wo die Blumen sind, wo sind sie geblieben? Sag mir, wo die Blumen sind, was ist geschehen? Sag mir, wo die Blumen sind, Mädchen pflückten sie geschwind. Wann wird man je verstehen? Wann wird man je verstehen?
Travail sans faute, elle est française. John O'John. Spot on spot het Wilsalens dialect van tussen uw tanden, zo blijkt gij te zijn. Scherp gesneden, uit boerencaféstoelenhout. Scherp geslepen, Dave Davis duivelt hoofd. Dat moeiteloos snijdt doorheen, witte dokters woorden. Wit loof, heet kleppig of gangers, zo bleek blijkt gij te zijn. Niet af te boren, niet zoals zij die hoorden. Zo lijk bleek zet gij in carnavalesk maanlicht. John, John oh John, Kletnik of caravanalist. John, oh John.
Qui me rendait folle. amour, voulez-vous que je danse toute la nuit avec vous? Plus je danse, plus je pense que je suis folle de vous. Si nous dansons la nuit entière, je ne réponds de rien. Tant pis pour Jacques, Paul, Pierre, vous aurez ma main. Mais je parle au milieu de vos baisers fous. Mais je parle que je suis folle de vous. Mais je parle au milieu de vos baisers fous. Je parle que je suis folle de vous.
ordering you to push that button, mister.
You're about to be sued by 26 people.
You coming along for the ride?
We got a great big.
We're saving a truckload of cash, good buddy.
And save a load of bread.
We got a great big.
We're saving a truckload of cash, good buddy.
And they're.
We got a great big.
We're saving a truckload of cash, good buddy.
Mine.com.
Oh.
We got a great big.
We're saving a truckload of cash, good buddy.
We're saving a truckload of cash, good buddy.
Welcome to Chest.
Solarium, aquarium, terrarium.
Chest.
Vivarium, mycelium, vitalium.
Chest.
Aluminum, maximum, meltium.
Chest.
Opacium, contaminum, absentium.
Chest.
Thank you.
unbelievable. It's really 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 unbelievable. It's really
unbelievable. And the horror in this life,
unbelievable, it's really unbelievable.
The beauty and the horror in this life,
unbelievable, it's really unbelievable.
The beauty.